The following is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action on anything being discussed, consult your medical doctor. Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio. Heart Health Radio. Oh, oh, oh. HeartHealthRadio.com. Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
I don't know. I think it's information and entertainment.
Yeah, better well. Be. I mean, if you can't hold people's, you know, attention by being entertaining, then what have you done?
You've created some of the other medical radio shows that we've heard.
I remember the first time we started doing this, you said, forget NPR. Have you listened to them? This is NPR with Heart Health Radio.
You know what I'd love Dr. to do Franklin is play Newfield. Jazz music in between all the stories.
Yeah, we could have background music.
That'd be all right. Yeah. All right, we got a lot of things going on, but we'd love your phone calls. 919-860-9783. I'm Dave Alexander. He is Dr. Franklin Weefald. We're going to talk about the Fauci effect. I'm not sure that that's a good thing, but we'll talk about the Fauci effect. Also, hypnosis. We've never discussed that on this show before.
You are getting sleepy.
I met with a hypnotist, and he told me, well, in fact, after I met with him, I feel compelled to bring up hypnosis on today's show. 32 countries have the UK COVID variant. What does that mean? And Dr. Franklin Weefald knows exactly why we haven't licked this yet.
Well, and I don't think we can until the vaccine. And I've got a particular story. And I got together with my staff on New Year's. We were open half a day on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that's good.
New Year's Eve. And I said, don't go to parties, okay? Because, you know, the young people are asymptomatic, and they'll give it to you, and you'll be asymptomatic, and you'll come back to my practice, and you'll give it to my patients. And they're good people. I mean, I have a really good staff. They mean well. Some of them are very young.
Uh-huh.
And today. Yesterday was I get lost with these holidays. Yeah. But yesterday, it came to my attention that two of them had gone to a party with like 35 people.
Oh, no.
And they posted pictures on Facebook and Instagram of everybody crowded together, giving each other, you know, cheek kisses and dancing and all this other stuff. And, you know, I sort of hit the roof. And they will not be coming to the practice for at least 7 days testing negative. And, you know, I told them, don't go see your mom and dad. Don't go see your grandparents.
Yeah.
And statistically, out of that group, at least one, maybe two, is positive for COVID. That's the way it is.
You're talking about
this is how it is going to continue to spread. I'm sorry.
You're talking about the group at the party.
Right, right. And the young people have an urge in this country to socialize. And there is an urge for girls and boys, birds and bees, to get together.
Right.
And so this whole political campaign was that Trump was responsible for 300,000 deaths.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that these young people are directly responsible, but they've got to wise up and be responsible, become responsible.
Right.
And realize that they're going to have to give up their, routine partying and getting together, because they're going to get it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be asymptomatic, and they're going to come to my office and give it to my patients, going to go home and give it to their mom and dad.
But you've said, and I think this makes a lot of sense, they're not coming in.
Right.
Until you're convinced they're not going to pass it along.
Number one, I can't afford it. My practice to be a source, you know, what is a super spreader event.
Yeah, you don't want
but
that.
But most importantly, my patients are at risk.
Right.
They're elderly, diabetic, heart disease, high blood pressure, although my diabetics and high blood pressure people are controlled.
Good.
The point I'm trying to make is that we all have a civic responsibility, a moral responsibility, to do all those things that we can to minimize the spread. I've seen people at Harris Teeter not wearing masks.
Right.
I mean, it just ticks me off. And I'm not saying that masks are 100% foolproof.
Yeah.
But if it reduces the risk even 30%,
right,
then we've done something, and that's what we've got to do.
Well, you know, that does boil down to the thing. You and I can't control how transmissible the virus is.
Right.
But we can control what we do.
Right.
That's all we can.
And we have a social, civic, and moral responsibility.
I go to
play our part.
I go to a convenience store.
Yeah.
Where they're not, the clerks are not wearing masks.
Oh, I'm not. No. I walk out.
Okay.
I'm telling.
They're on the other side of plexiglass.
Okay.
But everything I buy, they touch.
Right.
Because they spin it around to get to the UPC symbol.
Well, it's interesting. A really great store that I went to is Vineyard Vines. I buy all this preppy stuff. I'm wearing my Vineyard Vines now. They don't touch. They wheel around the thing. They tell you not to touch it. You stick it in. And they also say, you know, you can have a debit card that's used as a credit card. You just you hit the cancel sign when they ask for your code, and that turns it into a Visa card or a MasterCard.
Yeah.
So you don't have to touch it.
Oh, I don't even touch the machine.
Yeah.
I take my card out. I wave it in front.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I mean, honestly, let's be honest here. When you walk in there and they've done everything right, you slide your card in there and then you've got to push cancel or approve.
So you can just tap your card on there?
Yes, but here's the thing.
I know you can do that with Apple Pay.
Yeah, I do that with my card.
I've done Apple Pay once.
I get sodas at machines and never touch anything except the product button, and then I hit
that
with my
elbow.
I do.
But, you know, the whole point is, yes, I believe in individual liberty and freedom.
Yep.
But you don't have the right. You have the right to bear arms. You have the right to assembly. But you don't have the right to hurt somebody.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing you have to understand. And if you don't think you can be quarantined, you better think again. And look up, Google Typhoid Mary. They put her away.
And, they did. Yeah.
You know, if you don't think that you have a moral and legal responsibility not to hurt somebody, and most of the time you're not going to know you're hurting somebody.
Right.
And I'm just as much a believer in civil rights and our rights under the Constitution. But think about it also. If you love this country, we're not going to be back on our feet economically. We're not going to have people back at work until we beat this virus. And right now we're losing. We're losing badly.
Let's talk about the Fauci effect.
Yes.
It has been announced that UNC Medical Schools and Duke and UNC Medical Schools are seeing an increase in the number of people who are applying.
A massive increase.
You know, it's weird.
And my buddy from Johns Hopkins is in the faculty that went to school with me. They're swamped with applications. Now, do you remember the movie 101 Dalmatians?
Yes.
You know what happened after 101 Dalmatians?
You couldn't find a Dalmatian, could you?
And then do you know what happened about 4 months later?
No, I don't know.
The shelters got swamped with unwanted Dalmatians. So, you know, be careful of what you wish for. And this is the problem with medical school and people wanting to be Dr. Fauci. What do they see in Dr. Fauci? A nice 80-year-old gentleman from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's uncle on TV, being famous.
Yes.
Do they see 3 o'clock in the morning with somebody sick, puking on your shoes, and you're responsible?
I don't think so.
And do they see that you give up family life, that you give up personal life?
No.
They see Fauci on TV. Now, what's going to happen? I think we're going to have the highest dropout rate 2 years from now than you've ever seen before. And then the other thing is, I hate to say it, people, you're not going to get into a dermatology residency. That's the number one sought-out thing now. Really? Because this generation, Gen Zs and millennials, they don't want to be cardiac surgeons. They don't want to be neurosurgeons. They don't want to be cardiologists. We have a shortage of cardiologists.
Really?
Because they want the easy life. Now, there are obviously a bunch of dedicated people who are doing neurosurgery, and they're doing pediatric neonatal intensive care. They're doing the hero jobs.
Yeah.
But they're few and far between compared to those who want to be Fauci-like on TV and being, you know, raconteurs and not the real doctor things you got to do. Hey, listen, if you want to be a doctor,
yeah,
watch the best TV show about doctors ever.
What's that?
And it's called St. Elsewhere, and it came out in the 80s.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
I know it. I know it.
I was in medical school in residency when that came out, and I wanted to be a hero. So if you are thinking about the Fauci effect and you want to be a doctor,
yes,
watch. You do it on Hulu. It's all the episodes are on Hulu. I think there are some on YouTube.
Right.
Watch it and see if you really want to do this.
I liked that show.
Yeah, it was great.
They had a doctor on that show who, as it turned out, wasn't very good.
Right.
And that
David Morse was the actor's
right,
name. But,
right.
You know, in the beginning, he was really smart. In the first episode, there was a code. And he walked in, you know, like
it.
Clint Eastwood, and did the code, got the guy back. It wasn't until the second season they decided they have to have a goofball, okay? And his wife, if you remember, called him Boomer. Remember
yeah.
that? And what
yeah.
happened to his wife?
I don't know.
She died. And what happened to her heart? It was the first heart transplant at St. Eligius. And there was a great scene where after the heart transplant and his wife had died, Boomer walks in to the heart transplant patient's room, takes out his stethoscope,
yeah,
and listens to her heartbeat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It is a terrific
Watch
show.
It.
All right. Listen to the telephone number here, 919-860-9783. If we get talking about Marcus Welby, you got to cut us off.
No, I love Marcus Welby.
We could do the whole show on just TV doctors.
But see, that's the whole point is that, you know, this show connects
yeah,
everything.
It does.
And those were great shows.
They were great shows. Call us up, 919-860-9783. Oh, remember the surgeon?
Yeah.
I think he was a cardiac surgeon, too.
Yeah, he would walk. In the beginning, he'd walk with this swagger
yes.
down the hallway. Yeah. He
yeah.
was a hero.
And then Ed Begley Jr. played his assistant, who was like a resident. And he the old guy just insulted this kid
yeah.
forever. It was yeah. a good show. 919-860-9783. This is Heart Health Radio. We are going to talk about people jumping the vaccine line on Heart Health Radio and the Heart Health Radio Network. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. Dr. Franklin Weifold. Some people are ending up jumping the line and getting their vaccine early.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to be expected that you're going to have this because the people who are in charge are local.
Right.
What they're claiming is that they thaw too many vaccine bottles and then they run out of people to give them.
Yeah.
And so they said, hey, come on down, mom, dad, sister, brother. If that's the case, they should have a list of vulnerable elderly or diabetics, a list of people to
right.
bring them in.
Okay, how about this? This is a nutty thing.
Yeah.
I'm the non-doctor here.
Yeah.
They were in a hospital, and they had extra shots.
Right.
They were in a building full of sick people.
Right.
Could they have not found
non-COVID people
and given them a shot?
That's what I'm trying to say. Have that list. You know, okay, Jimmy Williams is on 3B floor, and he's
right.
just had surgery, and he's a diabetic, and he's hypertensive.
Right.
Let's give him the shot. And they're not doing that. And they're making excuses. Now, I'm waiting for the first report of a hijacked truck delivering it, okay?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you hear, Luigi, I got a vaccine. You give me $1,000, you know? And It's going
to
happen.
Our apologies to anyone named Luigi.
Luigi, yeah. I mean, I love the Godfather movies, but can you imagine Don Vito?
Yeah.
Having access to 5,000 vaccine bottles.
Is it or is it not worth its weight in gold?
I think so. So now we have two, Moderna and then we have the Pfizer. Mm-hmm. And the AstraZeneca is already approved in the UK. And yeah. I think if we can get the FDA, it's going to be a close vote, you know? Because I think there's going to be a lot of people who are upset about the initial dosing. We talked about this last week. The AstraZeneca vaccine worked, okay?
Yeah.
95% effective, just like the Moderna. It doesn't require as cold a temperature.
Right.
Well, here's the problem. The 95%ers, they got the wrong dose in the beginning. They got half of their proposed dose by mistake. The ones who got the full dose first and the full dose second, as opposed to the mistaken half dose and the full dose second, the true ones, they were only 60%.
Yeah.
So there was no damage. There was no side effect. I think they had approved the AstraZeneca half dose first, full dose second. And yeah. if I'm lined up to get the AstraZeneca, I'm going to tell them, give me the half dose. I'll sign all the papers to do it, you know, resolving them of anything.
Yeah.
But we got to get it out. And once we have three vaccines out, once we can get it going, you won't see these shenanigans.
Now, somebody let a bunch of this thaw out.
Well, he did it on purpose, too.
Apparently deliberate.
Yeah, why would he? I don't understand. This was a employee of a Wisconsin hospital, Aurora right. Medical Center in Grafton. And they arrested this guy, and he took out 57 vials.
Wow.
And put them overnight at room temperature, and then he let them get the vaccine, thinking that these patients were actually getting the correct vaccine. And it doesn't really say why he did it. I don't know. Maybe he was just being a jerk. I mean, can you think of why somebody would do this rationally?
I can't.
He's just mean. Shame.
Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., yeah. RFK Jr., the
RFK.
Son of the former attorney general.
And, you know, very famous guy. You ever, River Watch, you heard of that?
Yeah.
So the Hudson River was a cesspool. And, you know, he got, from his name, he got a lot of good things done. And there are now humpback whales off mm-hmm. the coast of New York City, which never happened for mm-hmm. 200 years. Well, somehow he became an anti-vaxxer. And believes this stuff about, you know, the vaccines cause autism.
Right.
And he uses his pulpit to scream and yell. And so he's taken up the cause of the anti-COVID vaccine people.
Right.
And is claiming it was rushed, that it causes terrible side effects, that it will kill you. Well, here's the thing. There is Carrie Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie Kennedy, her last name now is Meltzer. But, you know, notice they all call themselves Carrie Kennedy Meltzer.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
yeah.
okay. I think that's fine. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But she wrote an article in a big journal. It's blanking where it is now, what journal it was. But she said two things. I love my uncle. And I think she does. I mean, the Kennedy family, they love each other. They're a together
right.
Group of people.
Yep.
But then she had the courage. Remember, John F. Kennedy wrote Profiles in Courage. Well, he would include Carrie Kennedy Meltzer in Profiles. Can you imagine standing up to, you know, and the leaders of your clan?
Right.
And she said, I love my uncle, but he is wrong. And she went through a really good explanation of why we should all get the vaccine, that it's safe and effective. It will prevent those individuals from getting COVID. But it'll also, as more and more of us get it, it'll protect the elderly and it'll protect the infirm. And I just want to read the last thing she said in her article. And it says, please get your vaccine for yourself, your family, your friends, and your country. And, you know, what did JFK say in his first inaugural? Ask not what your country can do for you.
Right.
Ask what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. And she had the nerve, the courage to stand up to the patriarch, the new patriarch of the family, because, you know, he's the senior guy.
Yeah.
But also say that she loves him. Now, when I criticize Fauci, does this mean that I don't think he's a great man? No, and I said this before. He's a great man, and I appreciate what he's done. But you need to have the courage to stand up and say when someone you love or respect is wrong. And I just can't believe how great she is to do this. And I'm just, it's one of the great things that's happened this week.
We're going to play a piece of music. And it's a happy piece of music, but it's not. We're not presenting it for a happy purpose. In fact, it's very sad news.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this.
Okay, obviously you know the Gilligan's Island theme. You may already have guessed that we're going to talk about Dawn Wells, who was 82, and she died of COVID.
Yeah, and Marianne was my favorite. So Dawn Wells was a great actress. That people don't realize that she was Miss Nevada. And yeah. She was one of the runners-up to be Miss America. And yet they cast her as the girl next door. And she was a beautiful girl next door.
Sure.
And she played her part. I mean, I love that show. I mean, it was escapism. Would they criticize and say, this is not Shakespeare. Why is it on TV? Well, you know, we didn't want Shakespeare. We wanted Dawn Wells to be a sweet, nice, happy person to make us, after the end of our day, feel better. And she got COVID. And I don't know, the articles haven't said how she got it. But this is why I brought up what I brought up in the beginning. The young people in this country have a moral obligation to stop partying and to stop, you know, spreading it asymptomatically to our elders and our at-risk populations. And I'm going to miss her. She had some health problems earlier, and she had to have a GoFundMe page to make up large numbers of medical bills. And you know what? People stepped up.
Sure.
And she got what she needed. And now it's sad because we're losing a lot of people, and we're losing a lot of people in her demographic group.
I think we talked about her before when she had her other health problems,
right.
And I was surprised. Yeah. Gosh, she was 82 years old.
Yeah, because you always think of her.
Right.
Like, you know, my brother died at age 31 in a car wreck. And, you know, you think of him, and he's gone, but you just can't imagine, you know, do you age in heaven?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network.
Now back to Heart Health. Have a question for Dr. Weefald? Call 919-860-9783.
This is Heart Health Radio with Dr. Franklin Weefald. I'm Dave Alexander. We've got Rose Hoban on the line. Rose, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on. And talk to us, Rose, about the schedule now has been revised for who's first for the COVID vaccine, right?
It has somewhat, yes. I mean, it's still healthcare workers. I mean, obviously, they're still the number one people who are getting it. But there's been some changes in who gets it next. And so we're going to be seeing folks who are 75 and older, not just in skilled nursing facilities, but, you know, sort of anyone able to, even if they don't have a chronic health condition. So, and then group two is the frontline workers who are a little younger, right?
Right.
So, they're bumping up the older folks, just because they have been the ones who really suffered most during this time.
So who's in North Carolina is creating all these schedules? Who's in charge of this?
Well, it's the Department of Health and Human Services, and they're working with ACIP, which is a CDC Advisory Council on Immunization Practices.
Okay.
So they're working with